The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Friday. I am not just excited because we have Tim Tebow, Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Karam Rose. Gentlemen, the game of the year is this Sunday. I am so excited. Let's go.
Let's go.
Tom Brady will return to familiar territory as he leads the Bucs into Gillette Stadium for the first time as a visiting player. His 304 passing touchdowns at Gillette are the most by a quarterback at any venue in NFL history. Staying on that note, he's thrown for more than 41,000 yards at Gillette. Put that in perspective. Just 17 other quarterbacks other than Brady himself have eclipsed that total in their entire career. Brady's won 134 games as a starter at Gillette. With a win on Sunday, he'd set the record for most teams beaten as a visitor at 31, leaving Seattle as the only team left to check off that list in its entirety. Here's Tom on going up against Bill after 20 years.
We had a great relationship. I think everything was handled the right way. You know, we handled everything as gracefully as we could. It was an amazing, like I said, time, and it was handled perfectly. I think everyone understood, you know, where we're at, the people involved in the situation.
Oh, Tim. Tell me this. Do you believe in Tom Brady?
Oh, I believe in Tom Brady, but I don't necessarily believe Tom Brady. I'm not saying that Tom Brady's lying. I'm just telling you that Tom Brady is trying to play this thing down. I think there is such a passion in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I think there is such a this competitive drive in this game that is going to be bigger for him than maybe any other regular season game you have ever seen. He's going to play it down. Belichick's going to play it down. But if we're talking about the same person that still holds a grudge from 20-something years ago when he was drafted, if you don't think that he is putting every bit of critical focus and locked in and he is ready to give everything he has in this game, I don't think that you understand Tom Brady. Tom Brady is so locked in on this game. I think this is going to be one of the biggest games in his career from just how much he cares. If you were cut open his heart, this thing is, his heart's going to be beating faster this week against Belichick. I think it means that much to him.
First of all, I'm stunned. I'm sitting here and I'm just transfixed on Tim Tebow right now. I'm just stunned because I cannot believe that Tim Tebow, my friend, is actually on the record saying he feels somebody is not being that honest. I can't believe Tim Tebow did that. I'm just stunned.
I think he's taking the high road. He's taking the high road. Sometimes you don't always have to say everything that you're feeling, you know?
I do understand that. I have to learn that, Tim Tebow. I have to learn that. I'll admit it. Here's the deal, man. Let me tell you what I think, why I think Tom Brady is being honest about it. Because, number one, it ain't going to stop him from going at him. And number two, what he did was essentially highlight by him being classy, knowing all the stuff is out there about Bill Belichick and how a bit truculent and stoic and all of those things he can be. I think Tom Brady is being perfectly honest because guess what? That highlights the discrepancy in quote-unquote class that the two of them have in his eyes. And as a result, he sits up there and he takes this position and he's essentially illuminating and highlighting why he elected to leave in the first place. We all know he could have stayed as long as he wanted to because Mr. Kraft definitely wouldn't have pushed him out the door. But he said, hey, you got to allow this guy. God gives you 20 years, and he gets to a point where he wants to leave. You have to allow him to do that. But I think Tom Brady is being very, very slick here, but in no way not just taking the high road. I think the higher he goes, the worse it makes Bill Belichick look. And I don't think Tom Brady minds that at all. And that's what I think everybody is missing here.
One other thing before you jump back in, Tim, where I think he's actually be even more slick, Stephen A., is not only is he taking the high road, but he's not denying the speculation. Did you notice that?
He didn't say anything
was untruthful. He just chose to look past it.
And, hey, Tim, as an aside, we both know that it is Trainer Alex Guerrero and his father never, ever, ever would have given those interviews, let alone say what they said, if Tom Brady didn't okay that. We know that.
Of course he gave his blessing. Tim?
Absolutely. Listen, you know how every single game Brady runs out of the tunnel, he runs to the corner of the end zone, he does a little let's go thing, he pumps up the crowd. If you think in this game that those veins aren't going to be bulging a little bit more, he's not going to be a little bit louder, he's not going to be a little bit more intense, I think you're crazy. Brady absolutely wants this game, and yes, he took the high road and he's killing everybody with kindness, but that doesn't mean inside that chip isn't growing and growing and growing. And by the time you get to Sunday night, I think you are going to see a Tom Brady that is so determined, that is so fueled, that has such an edge, that you're going to see a Tom Brady that competes in this game like he does in playoffs and Super Bowls.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you this, Stephen A. Do you think New England will keep it close?
I was inclined to say yes because I looked at New England's defense. They're ranked 5 overall, ranked 5 in yards allowed. They're ranked number 2 against the pass. And even though they're suspect against the run, the fact of the matter is Tampa Bay loves to throw the football. Mm-hmm. But the more I think about it, Tim Tebow, the more I think about it, I don't think it's going to be that close. I think we're thinking about Brady. You know who we're not thinking enough about? We're not thinking enough about two people, Tim Tebow. We're not thinking about Rob Gronkowski, who, by the way, retired and showed no interest in coming back until Tom Brady said, come on to Tampa Bay, okay? And we're forgetting about Antonio Brown, who was out last week because of COVID protocols, who's highly motivated to go up against the New England Patriots, who felt messed over by Mr. Kraft, and even if he did it, Tom Brady's his boy. Tom Brady's the one that brought him into the mansion that Derek Jeter, El Capitan, by the way, once owned. Tom Brady's the one that brought him in the home, embraced him in ways that I dare say nobody else in the NFL ever embraced Antonio Brown. If anybody's going to be highly motivated, it's going to be those two, almost, not quite as much, but almost as equally. It's Tom Brady. I think it's going to be lopsided.
Listen, I totally get your points. I just don't believe in him because the one name you keep mentioning is Tom Brady. The name we haven't mentioned yet is Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is still one of the best, if not the best, coaches in the NFL. What does Bill Belichick do better than anybody in the history of the NFL? Take away the best things that opposing offenses do with a great defense. And he has a really good defense that I think is going to improve throughout the season. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of different schemes taking away the best players at times. Now, the blessing for Tampa, they have a lot of go-to guys. I mean, you have Antonio Brown back, Rob Gronkowski, but all the other guys that were making plays. So I think that's going to be the chess match in this game is you know, who are they doubling? Who are they trying to get away? Because let me just tell you, Bill Belichick is going to try to take someone out of the game. He's going to say, hey, we're taking the tight ends out of the game. You're going to have to throw it out wide to your receivers. So that's where this chess match comes into play. The difference in this chess match, Tom Brady has a lot more queens than Bill Belichick has to work with, and that's something that's going to be fascinating as this game goes along.
Well, you know what the thing about it, Tim Tebow, I got to get on you about a little something here for a second here, buddy. Let's see. Everybody's always talking about the greatness of Bill Belichick and how you're going up against Bill Belichick. Well, Bill Belichick, forget the fact that he's going up against Tom Brady for a second. How about he's going up against a guy that played under him for 19 years? 19 years. Tom Brady's no dummy. Tom Brady is fully capable of comprehending what the hell's going on. I mean, how much can you hide? How many wrinkles can you throw into the equation with a guy that you worked with for 19 years? Tom Brady sat there and got tutored by Bill Belichick. Now, the pupil is not the teacher. I get that. But what I'm saying is, why can't we all surmise that Tom Brady might have Bill Belichick figured out? Because Bill Belichick has never encountered a person that he's going up against that he's coached so much for so long. What about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a great point, but if you're bringing that up, then I think you have to throw Josh McDaniels into this as well. The offensive coordinator who drafted me in Denver, he's an incredible offensive mind, but also a lot of Brady's best seasons have been with Josh McDaniels, and Josh is an excellent mind, and I think you're going to see Josh with an incredible game plan for Mac Jones in this game. I think you're going to try to see them hold the ball a lot, control time of possession, and I think when we're talking about this chess match, we got to bring Josh McDaniels into the equation too, because he's one of the best OCs in the game right now.
Okay.
I cannot remember a time being more excited for a regular season game in my life. Stephen A's heart is really going to be distraught during this next game, maybe even more so than this clip. Here's saddened A. Smith.
Steelers are awful. They're awful. The defense, I'm not going to blame them because T.J. Watt is out. Highsmith was out. I don't know why everybody got a groin injury, but that's a subject for another day. But their offense is awful.
It's the music.
No, it's the groin injury.
I actually asked for this music, Ryan. I have never seen the Steelers' offense look this bad.
Okay, here's the good news, Stephen A. One of the groin injuries has healed. T.J. Watt will be back at practice. Ben, Steelers, who are looking to right the ship at Lambeau against that bad man Aaron Rodgers. A lot of scrutiny, Tim, aimed at the quarterback. Big Ben Roethlisberger, he's staying confident. But, Tim, do you still believe in Big Ben?
I believe that he's the best option for the Steelers right now, and I don't even think it's close. Like, I feel like this is something that we do so much it's three games, right? And we just hype it up like it's the entire season. It's not. It's three games. Has it been great for Big Ben? No. But is he your best option? Absolutely. Do they still have a chance to turn around? They get some of these guys back. Big Ben's played a lot of football, and he's still going to be able to play, I think, this year. I think he's still a good quarterback. In big games, in the fourth quarter, I think he'd still be one of the guys I would pick if you say you want a game-winning drive. I still think Big Ben can do that. It's three games. They haven't played well, but he's by far your best option, and I still think he can get the job done.
Look, man, first of all, everybody can't be you, okay? Everybody can't defy Father Time and stuff like that, being in your 30s looking like you're 19 years old, okay? Some of us look our age. Not me. Not me. But some of us look our age, okay, Tim Tebow? That's just the way that it goes. And when you look at Big Ben Roethlisberger, what is he now? 39 years old? He looks 39, bro. He looks 39. Now, I grant you that he's their best option. Well, that you're really stepping out on the limb there, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins. I mean, way to go, Tim Tebow. You're really stepping out on the limb there. But that's not saying much, because here's the deal. Your offensive line is horrible. Because Najee Harris, you saw Najee Harris at Alabama last year and the year before that. You know how big time he is. They got the worst running attack in football. That ain't his fault. He can't get blocking. And as a result, Ben Roethlisberger got to step back and pass, and they can't pass protect the dude. He's a statue back there, Tim Tebow. He's a statue.
But Stephen A., that has nothing to do with the point. The point is about Ben Roethlisberger, and now you're bringing up the offensive line in the running game. So if that's a bad offensive line and the running game's not working, you're going to hold that against Big Ben? I thought the question was, is Big Ben the guy? Can Big Ben get it done, right?
He can't.
And if so, but then
that's under these conditions.
So fix the offensive line, right? That's not a Big Ben.
Well, let me say this to you. You got a deal, because Tim Tebow once taught me this. Even though you're younger, the bottom line is you're a brilliant young man, and you once taught me this. You got to deal with the conditions you're presented with. And the conditions that you're presented with is what I highlighted. So when we get back to Big Ben, we're saying, under these conditions, this guy is not the idea. I mean, I'm almost to the point where I do want to see Dwayne Haskins, because I just want to see somebody who can move, because he clearly cannot.
That's the thing. No, Dwayne Haskins can move. Dwayne Haskins is a pocket passer.
Yeah, he's
his
true.
Entire
you're
career,
right.
High school,
right.
College,
right.
NFL.
You're
Dwayne
right.
Haskins is, you know, that's yeah. One of the things when he was at Ohio State, they yes. Couldn't run the read option. Yes. He's got a super gifted arm, but he's a pocket guy. So I'm sorry, but that ain't
no, you're
the
right.
Point.
You're absolutely right. He can't move. That was a bad example. Here was a good one. Here's a bad example. You got me there. Here's the point. For me, I think anybody can move compared to Big Ben Roethlisberger right now, number one. And number two, that's why I was an advocate of them going out and getting Cam Newton, because we know he can move.
Now, that's a different option.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's right. A different game. But this is what I just want to say really quickly.
Yeah.
Is it really more about Big Ben or all the injuries on this team?
Well, listen, I think it's about the injuries because of the defense. By the way, Tim, and I've said this for numerous times this week, I want to say how four different guys got groin injuries. I don't know what the hell's going on in Pittsburgh. That makes no sense to me. Four
I'm
different guys.
I'm not touching that one.
I just don't understand it. I just don't understand. Four guys at the same time? What's going on down in Pittsburgh? That's just me. But having said that, throwing that aside, all I'm saying to you is this. No, if their defense was healthier, you'd see more opportunistic plays taking place and what have you, because their defense is built like that. offensively, they are what we think they are. We're witnessing it before our very eyes. You got a new offensive coordinator in Matt Canada, all right? You got rid of Fichtner, and here you are with this team. You still got no running game, still got a highly suspect, no-name offensive line. But Big Ben Roethlisberger at age 39, he can't move anymore, Tim. He can't move, and he could barely throw it 20 to 30 yards without rubbing his elbow. That's where I'm at with it, Tim.
You're right. Big Ben can't move like he used to, but he still can throw it, and he can throw it farther than 30 yards. And I think the one thing you're going to see more spread, and you're going to see Big Ben in a great quick game. He's going to be getting it out in less than 2 seconds. That's going to be their change. You're going to see that happen this week. He's going to try to get it out over and over and over again because that's going to tire a defensive line, and you're going to get it to your playmakers. I think that'll be a big change Pittsburgh makes, and I think Big Ben will thrive doing that.
I hope he's right. I don't believe he is, but
at least when your team loses, it's to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you could say that, but you know what? You
that
lose to everybody.
Tag.
You lose to everybody.
Excuse me, that was a tag,
you know what I'm saying?
To then go to break.
But Giants lose to everybody, Tim Tebow.
Uh-huh. That's okay, and I'm still loyal, and mm-hmm. I will stay loyal because I'm not bandwagon.
UConn.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. All right, after a 14-0 first half that saw Trevor Lawrence looking like a solid NFL quarterback, and the Jacksonville Jaguars appeared to be on the verge of their first win of the season, but Joe Burrow wasn't having it. The Cincinnati Bengals responded. Two unanswered touchdowns in the third quarter to tie the game. Then they went on to score on every second half possession en route to a 24-21 victory. Here's Urban Meyer.
That's devastating. Heartbreaking. You know, all these guys. Usually I'm not wrong about stuff like that, I just see a good team in there. I see good guys. And I see good hearts. I see guys at work. And I told them I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong about that stuff. And this team's going to win some games. We're getting better each week. Just sickening that you didn't win that thing. But like I told you, I'm not wrong about that. I'm not wrong about those guys in that room. And that's a heartbroken locker room, so we got to get them back. But they're good people in that locker room.
You know, Tim, I don't always create the questions. I just ask them. Is Urban Meyer long for the NFL?
No, I don't think Urban Meyer's wrong for the NFL. I think Urban's a great coach. I think
long,
he's going to continue
long,
to.
Long for the NFL.
Long.
Like, meaning, well, yeah, not wrong, long. Like, do you think he'll stay for a while?
Yeah, I think he's going to be in the NFL for a little while. I think he really has a passion and a heart to be able to turn the culture and the trajectory of the Jacksonville Jaguars program. I think he really feels an obligation to Shad Khan, the owner. I feel like he has a passion for it, for Jacksonville, for the fans, for this team. When he gets into something, he goes all the way, and he's very passionate. And that can be an awesome strength, but it can also be a weakness. You see, one of the best things that coach brings to the table is his passion. He is willing to suffer. He is willing to not sleep. He is willing to grind. He is willing to push people. But that also, in the NFL, you kind of got to taper that back a little bit. It is a long season. You're going to suffer some losses. You're going to suffer some heartbreaks. Every team is really good, and I think coach is going to have to adapt a little bit, because if he doesn't, I think it will affect his health, and I think it will affect his energy and his stamina. So you know, my encouragement to him is, you know, still bring that passion, still bring that focus, still bring that intensity, but you have to be able to compartmentalize it a little bit, because if not, it will wear you down, it will wear you out. And I've gone through this many times with Coach, and, you know, multiple times throughout his career, his health has taken a turn for the worse because he cares so much and it weighs so much on him. And so I think personally for him, I think he's got to really balance it. But then also, it is a really, really tough league. And you got to know going in, there's going to be some games where you think you're going to win and you just don't, because that other team is really good as well. And so I think for him personally, he's got to handle it. But then professionally, he will adapt, because he's a great coach and he's always done that. He's done that from Notre Dame, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. He's continued to adapt. And so I think those are two things that he really has to focus on.
Tim, you know, I'm not joking around here when I say this, and I'm going to say this with all seriousness, because I hear where you're coming from. But to me, everything you just said is why exactly I do not believe Urban Meyer is long for the NFL. And I want to state this, and I know that Urban Meyer has found himself in some tricky situations over the years. I have always, always been an incredible fan of Urban Meyer. I think he is a sensational coach. And I think his record speaks for itself. You have a football team. You want Urban Meyer as your coach. And y'all put me up on the screen, split screen, because I want to see Tim Tebow when I'm saying all of this. That's how special I think he is. But I want you to take back. I want you to scale it back a little bit, Tim Tebow, and reflect on last night. Just hear me out here. They lost a close game. The last 3 weeks,
They
have played very, very competitive football. They struggled the first week of the season against Houston, but against Denver, Arizona, and Cincinnati, all good teams, potentially all playoff teams, They've looked pretty competitive. I totally agree with Trevor Lawrence. DJ Chark, I'm looking at some of these guys in their running game. Right here, James Robinson, Carlos Hyde. Remember him when he was with the 49ers. These brothers are running the football effectively, averaging 5 yards a carry or more. You know, you see some of the pieces there. And you come into the season, you've lost 19 straight. You lost 15 straight coming into the season. What the hell do you expect? So we all understand this except Urban Meyer. That's the great part about him, Tim, that he's going to work overtime and he's going to put it in. And he cares so much and you see it. But covering the NBA over the years the way that I've had, there's a couple of coaches that weren't long for the game because it hurt so much to lose. It took so much out of them. I think that was one of the things. Listen, remember when the Miami Heat won the title in 2006 when D-Wade led the way? That should have been Stan Van Gundy's team. But Stan Van Gundy had got let go, and Pat Riley had came in. And one of the reasons that Stan Van Gundy lost the job, it wasn't because of his basketball acumen, his know-how, what to do. It was so pressurized. He wore it on his sleeve. I mean, it was like, it was heart-wrenching when he lost. Yep. And that's, to a lesser degree, slightly maybe, that's Urban Meyer, man. And I watched him last night, and I was like this, Coach, it's game 4 of a season. Nobody's expecting you to win anyway. It's about getting better and better and better. Somebody like Larry Brown that I coached, that I covered in the NBA for years, Tim, Larry Brown's the kind of guy that could coach forever because he was all about the process and progress. He would have celebrated last night's performance. He wouldn't have been depressed and slamming on the podium and acting like he was just ready to drop because he lost a regular season game when you see that kind of progress. Yeah. But that's Urban Meyer, man.
It is.
I don't know, Tim. I don't know.
It is Urban. And when you say him, say, you know, that I'm heartbroken, that is real. That's transparent. That's absolutely the way he feels. You know, I'm sure, you know, flying back, driving to his house, seeing his family, Miss Shelley, I'm sure he was devastated. You know, and that he takes it that personal. And I totally agree with you, Stephen A. The one thing I would remind you of, though, is when you say that he might not last. He might not be around for a while. The other quality that he has, it's a crazy determination. Like, he has a crazy determination. So while it might be hard, I think he's going to be very determined. I think he expected to win every single one of those games. I really expected, I believe he expected to be 3-1 right now or 4-0. And so he is taking that hard. But I also think that This dude is super resolute, and he is determined, and I think he will continue to tweak and mold and change and get new guys in there and adapt and do whatever it takes because he is so determined. I don't think he would quit without finding a way to turn the tide a little bit.
I hope you're right. Mm-hmm. I hope you're right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He also took over a tough situation, even though they did get Trevor Lawrence, who now is 31-2 in his collegiate and NFL career. How about that record?
Yeah.
And also, I do want to mention one other loss. DJ Chark, they could be without him for the rest of the season with that ankle. So that's a huge blow as well that they had to endure.
They lost him.
All right, gentlemen, let's keep it rolling. Right. Andy Reid, Stephen A., returning to the city of brotherly love, your old stomping ground. Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City hoping to turn things around as well after a disappointing start to the season by their standards. The Chiefs have dropped consecutive games and find themselves in the basement of the NFC West through the season's first 3 weeks. It seems like it was just a matter of time for KC, which has played 11 one-score games over their last 14 contests dating back to last season. Tim, I want to start with you here. How concerned are you when it comes to the Chiefs?
I'm not concerned at all. They lost to two really good teams, two teams that are probably playoff teams, two of the best teams in the league. By the way, this happens. I think the Chiefs will continue to learn, grow, adapt. There's a lot of new players on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs will be absolutely just fine. By the way, in some of those losses, most of the plays went against them. What happens when that goes for? Like the game they probably should have lost was against the Browns. They had a better chance than the other two, you know? And so I think the Chiefs are just fine. They have way too much talent. You have Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, so many great players. I think they're going to bounce back and be totally fine.
Tim, have you been watching this defense? See, I know we in love with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, my brother from another mother. I get all of that, okay? Let me tell you something. This defense is not good. They're second to last against the pass. They're second to last in points allowed. They're third worst in yards allowed. They can't really defend the run. The pass either. Don't get me started with their running defense. You can run all over them. I'm like, wait a minute. And then I look into the rest of the conference. I'm looking at the Chargers. They coming. I look at the Raiders. They coming, okay? We look at the Ravens. They're relevant. The Browns are relevant. I think if the Browns played them again right now, they might beat them. You look at Buffalo. They're there as well. Tennessee has gotten back on track. I'm just looking at it right now, and I know that Patrick Mahomes is great, and he could come and save the day. But when I measure the Chiefs, Tim, I'm thinking Super Bowl. And I'm thinking what happened to them in the Super Bowl. And what happened to them in the Super Bowl has been happening to them the first three games of the season.
So do you think that all those teams you named are better than the Chiefs right now?
I think right now a lot of their defenses are.
Yeah, that's defenses. That's not the team. But you also, let me ask you a question. When was the Chiefs' defense dominant?
They were never dominant, but damn, this is bad, Tim. This is a little worse than what we've seen
it's
now.
Also,
come on
it's
now.
Also 3 weeks, right? There's a lot of things that are going to change. When's the last time that what happened after week three was exactly what's going to happen after week 17? It's just not the case. Things are going to change. This defense is going to grow, and they're going to get better like they have every year. But they've never been a great defense. They've been opportunistic at the right time, at the right place, right? You've never seen when Patrick Mahomes has been there a defense where you've been like, wow, that's a stout defense. What they've been is at the right time, on the fourth quarter, stopping teams from getting in the end zone, holding them to field goals, getting turnovers at the right time. That's who this team is, right? And to give Patrick enough chances to be able to get their shots because their offense has too much firepower. So this team is designed a little bit different than most other teams.
I also think it's a little bit of comfort because guess what? If I got Patrick Mahomes with Kelce and Hill and the crew, guess what? I don't have to prioritize defense as much as some other teams. Like, for example, I don't have to be the Chicago Bears. You know what? I'm not going to have to worry about being on the field too much to come to save the day because my offense can't do a damn thing. Or the Steelers, for that matter, the way their offense is looking right now. I know we're going
to
score some points.
How does it always go back to the Steelers?
Because I love my Steelers, Tim. That's why, and it hurts right
You know what I'm starting to learn about Tim Tebow as I'm getting to know him better each Friday? Why are you giving me that side eye?
What, Molly? What are you going to say?
Tim doesn't panic. Tim's calm. I think that's a superpower.
Oh, really?
He doesn't panic.
Really? That's
I never,
what we're doing
I
now.
Never see him
that's
being
what we're doing
like,
now.
Yeah, getting nervous, riled up, overly emotional, you know, like some people. Stephen A., speaking of which, Philly, where you spend a lot of time, you probably have a lot of great memories there. Do you believe in Jalen Hurts?
No.
Okay, do you want to expound on that?
I'm not going to say that I won't, You know, to take words from Tim Tebow. I mean, since Tim Tebow can say, you know, what looks at the way it looks in week three might look the way it looks totally
He's
different
calm.
In week 17. I still want a Tim Tebow's lines, okay?
I don't know that I've ever talked like that, but I get it. It may be that way,
okay? Here's my issue. And I said this with Jalen Hurts when he was at Alabama, even when he had a big time season at Oklahoma. I still said it then. And I said it when he came into the NFL.
Okay.
I have no questions about him as an athlete. I have no question about his heart. I have no question about his moxie or anything like that. He belongs in the NFL. I'm happy for Jalen Hurts. And he seems to be a really, really good guy, man, and a leader. My issue with Jalen Hurts is his accuracy passing the football. And you have to be able to throw with accuracy to succeed at the quarterback position in the NFL. And to me, that's the question mark. Have I not thrown out that question about Lamar Jackson? Did I not throw out that question about Cam Newton? Yeah. Yes, I did. Why would I not throw out that question at Jalen Hurts? That's my issue. And it's always been my
issue.
Cam,
I want to hear from you on this.
Listen, I agree with you, Stephen A. I think Jalen is a great young man. I think he's a hard worker. I think he's a good guy in the locker room. I think people respect him. I think people look up to him. I think at times Jalen can be very hot. Like week one, he played very well. To me, it's not as much about accuracy as it is about Jalen in the pocket. You got to fire it. In the NFL, there are tight windows, and you got to let it rip. Sometimes bad things might happen, but you got to be willing to fire it. And in a tendency he's had even from his freshman year at Alabama, if it's close, he's been different than Tua and Bryce Young now and all these other Alabama quarterbacks, Mac Jones. He's been that guy to just hold it a little bit. I think that's where he gets into trouble because he trusts his athletic ability a little bit more than he does staying in the pocket and letting it rip. I think if Jalen were to say, hey, you know what? If I throw a pick, I throw a pick. But when I see it, when I know the coverage, when I got a guy, I got to let it rip. I got to throw with anticipation and I got to throw with accuracy. But I don't think it's as much on accuracy as it is, you know, hey, guess what? You got to be able to throw in these tight windows and let the ball rip. And that's something he's never necessarily done a lot. He stresses his athletic ability more, even when he went to Oklahoma. And that's how I would be coaching him and encouraging him. Hey, when you see it, fire it, let it rip.
All right, we'll see what happens in Philly this weekend. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Let's check in on this weekend's college slate, where someone will have to give in this top 10 matchup as the Razorbacks' 8th-ranked rushing offense will go head-on with the Bulldogs' 6th-ranked rushing defense. Meanwhile, over their big win in Wisconsin last weekend, the Fighting Irish will look to fend off another ranked opponent in Cincinnati. It'll be just the second meeting between the two schools and first since 1900. And Alabama will host number 12 Ole Miss, the third ranked opponent. The Crimson Tide has played through the season's first 5 weeks. Good news for Bama, the Rebels are 0-13 against top-ranked teams in program history. Stephen A., Mr. Roll Tide, Mr. Alabama, Mr. I gave the best speech ever, and that's why they're so good.
I never said that.
Okay, I never said that.
Okay.
You thought
that. Paul Feinbaum said that. My buddy Paul Feinbaum said that, not me.
You
but
didn't
go ahead.
Say it. All right.
But go ahead.
Is Alabama on upset alert?
No. Ooh. Absolutely not. Now, let me say this, okay? First things first. It's a new day at Ole Miss because Lane Kiffin is there. I believe in that man. I think he's a hell of a coach. And obviously, last year, Tim Tebow got me again because he told me that Ole Miss game against Alabama was going to be tough. I didn't forget. They dropped 48 on Alabama, okay?
Seems to be a pattern happening.
But Alabama dropped 63, so let's just be clear about that. Having said that, we talking about Alabama. And let me tell you something, Tim. Let me tell you something right now, my man. Let me tell you something. Them damn Florida Gators surprised me, okay? I think they surprised Alabama. Alabama ain't going to find themselves in that situation. Again, they're going to get it together. They destroyed Southern Mississippi. That's a different level. I understand that. Ole Miss is coming in undefeated 3-0. Mac Rowland's brother can play now. He's something special. He hasn't thrown an interception yet this season after throwing 14 interceptions last season. But it don't matter. It don't matter because they coming to the Tide, baby. They coming on road. They going on the road. They coming to the home turf for Alabama, okay? Bryce Young handling his business, 15 touchdowns, just one interception, complete 72% of his passes. You see Jameson Williams and the rest of these boys, they're doing their thing. And listen, the fact that Florida almost beat them a couple of weeks ago, I think that Nick Saban has appropriately made life a living hell for them over the last couple of weeks. And I think Ole Miss will feel the wrath of the Tide, baby. And this is all I got to say to close out this discussion, Tim. Roll Tide! Oh. Alabama!
Stephen A.
It's not going to be close this
Please,
time.
Please, rest your throat Stephen for a little
A.
bit.
When you woke up this morning, did you walk into your closet and say, you know what? I'm looking at all these ties, and none of them are quite as beautiful as the tie I wore last Friday. So you know what? I'm just not going to wear a tie because nothing could possibly match up to how great I looked last week. You know, that was probably your thought process. But as we talk about Alabama, are they one of the best teams? There's no doubt about it. Alabama's a great team. But where you underestimate is you get so caught up in T-Town and Alabama and Saban that you forget other places have really good players. And yeah, you mentioned him, but you didn't really put a lot of respect on his name, and that's Matt Corral. This dude is unbelievable. And hey, let me throw out something to you. The last three Heisman Trophy winners in the SEC, Cam Newton, Johnny Manziel, Joe Burrow, every single one of them went on the road to beat Alabama. That kind of put that little notch in their Heisman belt. So, could Matt Corral do the same?
No.
I think right now he's the best player in college football. So far, he's had the best season. It's not the one-dimensional. He does it with his arm. He does it with his leg. He does it with his scheme. He does it getting in and out of place. And, yes, I want to give Jeff Levy and Lane Kiffin a lot of credit. They do an unbelievable job. I think it's the best offense in the country right now. But Matt Corral runs it to perfection. And by the way, when we're talking about next level, I think this kid has a really, really bright future at next level. I think you have a chance to be one of the top picks next year. He does everything well. And what do you need to be able to knock off Alabama? Unbelievable quarterback play. Not just in the pocket, but athletically to be able to do all of it.
Hold on.
What are we holding on?
All those flowers you just gave out to him, and you said he got a chance to be a high pick in the NFL next year? A chance? The way you're talking about him, we should be saying he's going to be the number one overall pick or something. The way you're talking about him.
I think he'll be a first-round pick.
I ain't talking about first round. I said number one overall. The way you're talking about him, he's the best player in college football. Well, we going to find out, ain't we? We going to find out this weekend. I'm telling you that right now. And I don't mind Alabama being the litmus test. Let him come. Let him come to the Tide, okay? Let him come to Tuscaloosa. Let him find out what it's all about, okay? I'm just telling you right now. That, listen, you can't be struggling against Florida and then go up against Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin and then struggle again. That's not Alabama. Football. Ooh. That's not Alabama football, okay? That's all I'm saying.
All right. Let's move
on. I don't even know how to respond to that.
No, don't. The bandwagon's so crowded, don't. Alabama's on an 18-game win streak. Clemson, though, is off to a shaky 2-2 start, uncharacteristic of my guy Dabo Sweeney. Losing to both Georgia and NC State tomorrow, they face BC. Is the mouth of the South, Paul Feinbaum, losing faith in the Tigers program?
Dabo's dynasty is done. I do not like anything I see there. They've lost one coach a couple of years ago to USF. I think that was a big loss. This is a staff that has always been together, but I think it's getting stale. Yes, recruiting is still good, but will it be elite after what we just got through watching? It just doesn't look like Clemson is part of the cool kids anymore, and I think they're going to pay for it in recruiting, and they play in a terrible league, which will hurt them even more.
Not mincing words, shots fired. Clemson not even part of the cool kids anymore. A lot is happening. Tim, where are you on this? Is the Clemson dynasty over?
Listen, I love Paul. I've had the chance to do SEC Nation with him for the last 8 years.
We do too.
But, I mean, what are we talking about? Like, for real. Come on. Like, it's two losses. You lost to Georgia. You lost to NC State. Two good football teams. But to say, like, they're not part of the cool kids anymore, go ask all the five-star recruits, all right? Let's just be honest. You know, go look at all the people that are falling in love with Clemson. Go look at how they're raising money right now. Go look how they're building a program, how every other school is going to Clemson to look at how they do their marketing, to look at how they do their facilities, all of this. Because they're getting all these recruits because everybody's falling in love with Dabo, falling in love with the program. And yes, they lost two games, but to say it's done, to me, it's just not watching. It's not evaluating. It's not looking at the program. It's looking at two games. It's looking at the result of two games, but that's not the entire process. Listen, Dabo is still one of the best coaches in college football. He's had a crazy amount of success for the last decade, and to say they're done because they lose two games, I think it is absolutely absurd.
Tim, Tebow, we're supposed to be, and put me up on the screen, please. We see Clemson's record. We don't need to see it again. Let me say this. We're supposed to disagree. We can't disagree here. I'm not counting Dabo Swinney out, and that's where my focus lies right now. Alabama wasn't the only place I went to. I went to Clemson. That is a sensational campus. They've got sensational facilities, and damn it, they've got a sensational head coach. The real problem is their quarterback. Let's just call it what it is. And Tim, I don't know if I never tried to pronounce his name. Let me try to pronounce it now. Uyunglele? Is that how you
pronounce
it?
That's pretty good.
Uyunglele. Uyunglele. Okay, there I go. Okay, I pulled it off, okay? Let me tell you something right now. The only reason he stands out at this particular moment in time is because of how you pronounce his last name. It damn sure ain't his game that's doing it for him. He is a precipitous drop-off, obviously, from Trevor Lawrence, from Deshaun Watson, from Boyd. I mean, the list goes on and on. Listen, when you look at the recent history of quarterbacks at Clemson University, this brother's not measuring up. And it's quite surprising because last year when he played in the games that Trevor Lawrence was out, he looked pretty good. I don't know what happened to him this offseason, but he hasn't looked good at all. Listen, they lost to Georgia 10-3, okay? Another game they gave up, I forgot who it was against, they gave up 8 points. Now, they gave up 27 to North Carolina State the other day, and I get all of that, and I understand that. But what I'm saying to you is, don't tell me that Dabo can't coach. Don't tell me about coaches that he lost, because you got a whole bunch of coaches that would love to come and coach under Dabo at that university, which is the great Clemson University. This is Dabo Swinney. We are talking about Paul Feinbaum. No, I'm rolling with Tim Tebow on this. I'm not counting Clemson out by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that they're going to have to make a change at the quarterback spot. They're going to have to find a playmaker at that position, somebody that steps up and lives up to a legacy that, as far as I'm concerned, Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence both took to another level. It's got to be somebody like that, but to me, that's all it is. If they had somebody like that, we wouldn't be having this conversation, and we all know Dabo and Clemson are capable of finding somebody like that. They just don't have that right now.
Stephen A., I see you dropping SAT vocab words. Precipitous. Okay. Hey, listen, I was homeschooled, so during commercial break, explain it to me, all right?
Not nutritious. I mean, Dan Orlovsky used the word nutritious. He used the word nutritious.
Dan's the best.
You know, he used that word.
So. And he owned it.
And he made it seem like it worked. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I love Dan.
At least Dan's such a nice guy, so you can't even give him a hard time.
Not as nice as you, though.
He's not as nice as you.
My friend.
Oh, my friend. Tim. Have fun this weekend. We'll see you next Friday. Always looking
forward to it.
Appreciate
you guys. Good to see you.
Appreciate the green jacket that looks black. Appreciate the green jacket that looks black on television, by the way.
Thank you, Stephen A.
Tim, you look clean. Your wife dressed you well.